Beaches in Plettenberg Bay and the Western Cape have been closed after a shark attack claimed the life of a 39-year-old woman on Sunday. Kemon Bosanyo from Cape Town was on holiday with her family and was swimming at Plettenberg Bay's central beach on Sunday morning when the attack happened. It's the second fatal shark attack in Plettenberg Bay in only 3 months. So just how common are these shark attacks, and just how dangerous is swimming in the sea? I'm Catherine Rice, a multimedia journalist for News 24, and you're listening to The Story. This week, we're talking to News 24 journalist Marvin Charles, who has been covering this tragic story, and later we'll talk to shark expert Bruce Noble. Marvin, thank you so much for your time. What do we know about Kemon Bosanyo, and what are the circumstances surrounding the attack?
So what we know from Kemon was that she was a very well known civic activist in the observatory area. She cared a lot for those who slept rough on the streets of Cape Town, and she was a well-known restaurateur as well. She owns a pizzeria, a pizzeria in Observatory. What we know about the attack is that she traveled to Plett late afternoon on Saturday, and the attack happened on Sunday morning. We know that she was with her family at the time.
And I believe she has a child as well.
Yes, a little girl.
And Marvin, has the family been receiving a lot of support from the community?
Well, since news broke about her death, there's been an overwhelming amount of support for the family and also the staff who knew her at her restaurant. There's been messages put up outside her restaurant's doors. There's been flowers put up. There's just been a lot of care for this woman and for what happened to her.
And you've been out to Observatory, where she was clearly a very well-known community activist. What did the homeless people have to say about her? How did she change their lives?
So she cared a lot for them. She would every Wednesday come along and give food out to them. She would also supply them with sleeping bags as well. So they fostered quite a strong relationship with her as well. And at the time, what the homeless would describe was that she literally changed their lives, you know, especially in Cape Town, where there's an overwhelming amount of homeless people.
And I believe she also taught them yoga. And
yes, she was a yoga instructor as well.
So she'd provide that for them for free.
Yeah.
So really an activist spreading light wherever she went. Thank you so much for your time. That was Marvin Charles, News 24 journalist. We're now joined by shark expert Bruce Noble. Bruce, thanks so much for your time. Can you give us your thoughts about why this attack happened? I believe she was in shallow water at the time.
Hi, Catherine. Thank you. Yes, she was in fairly shallow water. It was low tide, but where the actual incident took place, there is a slight drop off. It's sort of a depression, and the water would have been probably around 2 meters deep, so it wasn't as shallow as being reported. And the shark would have approached her in that slight channel when the attack occurred. There's a myriad of reasons why sharks can attack humans. It's a very, very rare event, but a shark can be in a heightened state of predatory mode, should we say, and they can be confused. They are also very curious, and not having hands and things, you know, to touch or feel or see what this is. A swimmer splashing in the water might be of interest to them, and they would investigate. And these exploratory bites are, I think, in terms of great white events, are probably the most common. You know, that's the way the shark sees what's in the water. If he really wanted to eat humans, we would be very easy. We're a lot easier to catch than fish and seals. And when you look at the incidence of shark attacks, there's very few times where a person is actually consumed by the shark. When that happens, in that rare, very rare event, it's sometimes attributed to a pregnant female who hasn't eaten for a long time and battles to catch prey. But besides that, you know, it really is a rare event. If you look at the International Shark Attack File, their average is 5 deaths per year. And that is worldwide. And the Australian Institute of Marine Science looks at about an average of 10 a year. So even 10, if you consider all the water users around the world, it is exceptionally rare to die from a shark attack, which makes this extra tragic for our little town.
But Bruce, it's the second fatal attack in 3 months in the same area. So why would it be occurring again so soon after the last one?
When we look at the Southern Cape and the Eastern Cape, and if you look at shark attack statistics, you will see that it goes sort of against the grain, where in the winter months we have the most incidents instead of the summer months. One would think with more water users, that would be the time where you would see most incidents occur. It's actually when the least people are in the water. And this is attributed to a natural phenomenon where the white sharks in the winter months in our area and the Eastern Cape come closer to shore. So in Plettenberg Bay, for example, we have a handful of sharks, only a handful. You know, people believe we've got lots of sharks that come here. We've only got a handful of sharks that have adapted to hunting seals in shallow water. And they arrive every year at mid-April, and they leave sort of 15th of October to the end of October. And it's these same sharks that are sort of patrolling up and down Robbeck and occasionally go up and down the beaches as well. So, you know, when we have interaction with them, things can happen. We are just extremely unfortunate that, you know, we've had these incidents. And both have been fatal. It really is, a case of being in the wrong place at the wrong time. But we do have to be aware that they are there, especially in the winter months. And, you know, we have to, exercise extreme caution because the chances of interacting, with a white shark in the winter months is fairly high, as opposed to summer where we battle to find a white shark for days in the entire area.
Bruce, how long have you tracked sharks for, and have you noticed a change in their habits in recent years?
I've been observing the white sharks in Plettenberg Bay since 2004, and we only have a handful of sharks that return each year that have adapted to hunting seals in shallow water. In all the years, no, I haven't noticed a difference in behavior of the sharks. They do the same things that they've been doing throughout all the years. But one thing that is interesting this year is that we've had two orca predations in Mossel Bay. Mossel Bay has a shark population of approximately 20 to 30 sharks. So these sharks have left the area. Some of them we do know from tracking have gone east. So they would have come past Plettenberg Bay, and then they returned after 51 days. They returned to Mossel Bay. So they would have come past there twice, but still none have, made their home here as such. In our counts, our aerial counts, the most we've ever got is 7, and those are probably other individuals that are passing our coastline. But then there was another predatory orca predation in Mossel Bay. So the sharks left the area again. We're talking, these 20 to 30 sharks moving out of the area again. But I haven't picked up that we have more sharks in the area because of that. They haven't returned to Mossel Bay yet. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens. We had a similar experience on the 2nd of August this year, where there were orcas in the bay. And our sharks, they disappeared. They disappeared and only came back on the 15th of September, and 5 individuals returned. So, yeah, the interaction with the orcas and the white sharks, I think, is going to determine our patterns and areas that are going to be frequented by great whites in the future.
Bruce, do we know what sort of shark it was? And is it likely to be the same one that attacked that swimmer a few months ago?
It was a great white shark. We wouldn't know. We've got a few sharks of very similar size. The only way one could determine if it is the same shark is probably by DNA sampling. There are a few sharks of a similar size. So we wouldn't know unless you did DNA sampling if it is the same shark.
And Bruce, do you have any idea of how long the beaches will be closed for?
The beaches are already open. We have additional lifeguards on duty.
How are the authorities responding? How do they plan to keep people safe? In Muizenberg, in Cape Town, they employ shark spotters who alert swimmers and surfers when a shark is sighted. Is that perhaps the best way to tackle the problem?
It's sort of an approach that has many different angles to it that have to be implemented at the same time. Before the first fatal attack that we had already, there was various mitigation methods being tested to be implemented. Obviously, after the fatal attack, we formalized a group of shark action group in Plettenberg Bay, which included the mayor and the municipal manager. So everything can be coordinated. So basically, in this particular approach, we are using warning boards, notifying all the B&Bs, giving them information, hotels, etc., via the Tourism Association. We have additional lifeguards that are going to be on duty. We do have a spotting program that is being implemented as well, and which also will include high-tech cameras and hopefully in the future combining that with a shark recognition system. There are various methods that are being considered and researched and looking at implementing perhaps a shark barrier in Central Beach. But obviously those that does go through a process of testing and research. But I think with all of the methods combined, we'll have an extremely effective mechanism of mitigation risk with sharks and humans. Prior to this, when we have all the lifeguards on duty, it has always worked exceptionally well. Although we don't have many great white visits in the summer months at all, when we have had the lifeguards have identified where the shark is, closed that particular beach, the shark in the summer months, they don't tend to hang around. So they'll move from east to west or west to east and continue going. So once that shark is a safe distance away, the next, the other beaches would be closed, but you can open as it goes. So you'll have a spotter onto that shark, and that's how we've ensured the council has ensured the safety in the past. Unfortunately, there were no lifeguards on duty at that time of the morning when this incident occurred, and we don't have many beaches manned by lifeguards in the winter, but we're trying to rectify various options in that regard.
Bruce, how's this affected the community of Plettenberg Bay? Do you think it's likely to affect their tourist season?
Obviously, incidents like this, where specifically a shark is involved, I mean, it really creates heart awareness. And the community, yes, it's a very sad loss, very sad losses that we've had. So it does affect the community, definitely. I think in terms of tourism, we've got to look at it from two angles. We have shark tourism because we have these individuals here in the winter. We have people coming from all over the world and filmmakers, etc., coming to film them from the cliffs of Roberts. I mean, it's probably the only place in the world where you can watch a great white shark hunt seals in its natural environment with no chum, not from a boat. Just, you walk on the cliffs and you see the symphony play out below you. It's absolutely incredible. So we have shark tourism, which we have to, look after in the winter months. In terms of the summer months, we are fortunate that, we don't have, frequent visits at all from white sharks. So in terms of, the tourism season coming up, we plan to have these mitigating methods in place already just to ensure the safety of the visitors. And it's I think from the Shark Action Committee, it's getting the confidence back, in our waters and looking after, our tourists. I think that is the prime objective at the moment.
And certainly, making tourists aware that there is this presence in the winter months. Well, thank you so much for your time. That was shark expert Bruce Noble. That's all we have time for this week. I'm Catherine Rice. Join us again next week for The Story.